Welcome to the Wise Women Collective Show.
Join hosts Lynn Schuessler-Williams, Holly Hartman, and Brooke Haynes with their inspiring guests for conversations that fuel personal growth, career success, and community impact.
Tune in to connect and amplify your power, because when women rise, the world follows. Hello, my name is Holly Hartman. I'm here with the Wise Woman Collective radio show, and I'm here with two of my fabulous co-hosts, Lynn Schuessler-Williams and Brooke Haynes, and our fantastic guest, Niecy Jones. Welcome to the show, everybody. Thank you for coming in to listen with us at the Wise Women Collective radio show. And we want to dig right in and get to know Niecy Jones. She is one dynamic woman who has gone through her own journey of healing and conquering, and a word that she calls herself is a warrior woman. And what we know with the Wise Woman Collective is that when women rise, the world follows, the world grows, like all of it. Like, and she's got so much wisdom to share. So buckle up, hang in tight, and let's hear from Niecy Jones. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in the world, and then we're going to dig in.
Okay, I'm Niecy Jones. I'm 72 years alive. I am a warrior woman. I am for the sisterhood. That's exactly what I'm for. Very briefly, I was raised in an extremely dysfunctional family growing up. I'm married. I am a healed victim of domestic violence. But after that, I started my, and I am a recovering drug addict with 36 years clean. I began my healing. I did my work. And as a result of me doing my work, I have been a substance abuse and mental health therapist for 20 years. And this is what I do to help people. My purpose in life, after all of that, I discovered was to help women. And I primarily work with women. So that's who Niecy Jones is. And I'm also a spiritual minister. I am a non-denominational spiritual minister. So that's who Niecy Jones is.
Niecy Jones is a dynamic woman. I had this beautiful opportunity. Her and I were a part of this Fearless Speaking Academy years ago, and this is where we connected. And when I first got to hear her story, how powerful it was to hear that. And I know part of your story is calling from pain to peace. And man, yes. Just that intro, I can only imagine the pain. I'm an abuse survivor myself, and I'm also 15 years in recovery. And so I know that that's not easy. And so for you, like, was there, can you walk us through a little bit at the beginning? Like, obviously there's some pain that was involved. Wherever you want to start, share with us kind of some of those moments that shifted for you.
Okay. I survived the domestic violence in a dysfunctional household. I married a wonderful man. We had a business. We were in the music business. We had children, bought a home. And I thought everything was good. But then all of a sudden, there was this negative light growing inside of me. It was a monster growing inside of me. And I didn't understand it. And it was very painful. And that's when I started using drugs to numb that pain. And within a 2-year period, it got really bad. I'm grateful to my late husband of 30 years because he held the family down. And it got so bad that when I finally hit a bottom and went for help, I was put in a psychiatric hospital for a month. And when I came out with outpatient, it was 12-step meetings. It was facing a lot of the pain. I had to face the pain and face the trauma in order to heal. And I'll tell anyone, it's not an easy journey. However, I'm going to say this to your audience. Aren't we worth it? Aren't we worth it to invest in ourselves to heal? And I'm so grateful that I did, because little did I know my purpose in life to take my healing. Like Warren, remember what Warren used to say? Take your mess and turn it into a message. I had no idea. I didn't plan to be a therapist, not at all. It came knocking on my door, the opportunity. And I just so happened was ready to go through that door and step into my purpose in life of helping women who were just like me.
Thank you for the energy you put out in the world. And what a beautiful gift is healing. When we get to do that and the impact of helping others see it. I know that your book, so Niecy is not only a therapist and a spiritual leader and all of the things, she's a multi-passionate woman. She published a book not too long ago called Through the Tunnel, Journey of a Warrior Woman.
Right.
So you went through the tunnel. So can you share with us a little bit about what that book is about?
Well, the book is about me traveling through a virtual tunnel. I'll be very brief. When I was 18, I wrote a poem. I was in so much pain that a tunnel appeared when I was walking down a street, and I looked, it was a virtual, I looked inside this tunnel virtual, and it was horrible things in there. It was dark, it was closed, people were screaming and crying, and I knew that at the way end, there was a beautiful light. And I went around that tunnel and the light wasn't there. And this voice, I like to think today it was my great-great-grandmother who said, you could have that light, but you have to go through this tunnel. And I've actually gone through that tunnel in my life, that virtual tunnel of all kinds of crazy, hard, good, bad, happy, sad, all of that. So that was the title. I knew I was going to write a book when I was 18. However, I didn't get to it until I wasn't ready to get to the book at that point. So and now what I do is women, I help women go through whatever their virtual tunnel looks like, whatever their pain looks like, and I help them navigate their way through. So that became the title, Through the Tunnel, Journey of a Warrior Woman. And I am a warrior woman.
I love that. That's so powerful. I see Brooke and Lynn are, they're ready. Whoever wants to go first.
Go, Brooke.
Well, when you said a warrior woman, I said, that's what you represent to me.
Like, Thank you.
I see, I hear, I feel that warrior woman. And so I think that you've either embodied that title really well, or you knew yourself really well. Well, you know, probably both. This is one of the so that's all. I just wanted to comment on that. You look like you come across, you look, you speak, your story, all of that makes me want to know more because of it radiates wisdom. That's where I'm trying to go.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Because at 72, I have some wisdom. I'm still learning. I love to learn. But at 70, no, I'm 73. I just turned 73. What am I talking about? I'm 73. I've gained some wisdom along the way. I'm still learning. I'm still traveling. But yeah, I attended a group last night of women, and they were asking, what did you learn about yourself in 2024? And I realized I'm a lot more patient. I'm a lot more sitting still and analyzing things before I take action and make the move. Just a lot of things that, with age, wisdom. Anybody can have wisdom. It doesn't have to be a certain age. It's what you're open to. So thank you for that, Brooke. I appreciate it.
I love that, Niecy. I want to ask you a question. You know, with this remarkable story you have of all the overcoming along the path of this tunnel, you know, and I know that from that story of when you were 18 and you experienced that, the part I really heard that I think is so important is that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And
yes,
what you heard was you can have the light.
Yes.
You got to get through the tunnel. So when you're working with women and they're facing whatever's in their tunnel and they're looking at that and they're feeling however they're feeling about it, which I'm sure includes things like scared, despondent, worried, panicked, all those things, ready to give up. Like we've all either been there or known women who have. What is it that you find is the most important thing for them to hear? What is it that holds the hope to go from,
When I get new people that I work with, the first thing I know, I have to earn their trust because I can't have them even think there's a light or anything. So when I get it, I love music. I've always loved music. So when I have a new client, I will put, do you like music? What kind of music you like? And we put it on and we start there because I feel like this way, they're scared. you know, they're scared. I have to take them in the beginning to recognize that, respect that they're scared before I could even start to talk about the light. But you know what? I have hope for every single one of them. And that's mm-hmm. what we do along the way. Like, I had a client, I specialized in trauma in my career. And I think the most traumatized client I had, when she was a little girl, she saw her father blow her mother's head off in front of her. And when OBC came to us, I've worked with prostitutes and homeless women. I've worked with women who have been through it. And when she came to us, that's how I started. And eventually to introduce her a little bit to the light, because it has to be a little at a time. I can't just throw it all. The light's there. You can have it. I have to kind of guide them through that tunnel. And when it was time, and it took several sessions before I could say this to her, I said, your life has been a hot burning 20. You know, we can work on bringing it to a 5 or 6 where you can learn to live with what happened. And that's when the light, that's when I start introducing the possibilities, the hope, the faith, all of that into them. And I worked with her for 2.5 years. And when she was discharged, guess what she did? She went into the fashion industry. She is doing so good in the face. So that's her light. That's her light, you know? So yeah, it's beautiful to have people realize that as long as you're breathing and you're alive, your light's always there. That light mm-hmm. is always there. Mm-hmm. So thank you for asking that. I appreciate that.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, another thing that I noticed from your story was you said that in 18 that your great aunt came, and I'm hearing this thread of wisdom. I think it was your great aunt or an ancestor.
My great grandmother, her name was Alice Watson. She was born in 1843. Now, I don't know. I didn't learn this until later on. For some reason, I became very connected to her, and I didn't know why. And I started talking to her every morning and reaching out to her. And even in the back of the book, I say that. It was her voice that I heard who said, "You go to the tunnel, you'll get to the light." So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, and you know, we're all about wise women here. And so I love that note that sometimes there are people that are in isolation, they don't feel like they have somebody that can guide them through the light. And sometimes it is our ancestors that come in and channel through us to do that. But also I hear that you are that channel for them. You are that great-great-grandmother to those people guiding them through these tunnels as well. And what a beautiful gift. And hopefully that's what we get to do with these with our listeners too, is that this is a guiding light tunnel to go, oh, I'm not alone. There are people who have experienced life and that we can rise. So I love all of this. I just appreciate what you put out in the world and your willingness to do that, because I've worked with trauma survivors myself, and it is it's energetically very heavy. So let's hear to somebody that maybe if people are in the serving field, in the help and healing field, and they're working with trauma survivors, how do you, Niecy, take care of yourself when you're serving so many people in this way?
It's amazing that you asked me, because last night I had to look in the mirror, and I haven't been lately. I've been there so much with them. My husband's a psychologist, and he's good at taking care of himself, and he recognizes it. And he sits down, he says, wait a minute, what's going on with you? Because you're not, you're not eating. He says, you can go a whole day doing things and you don't even eat or anything. What's going on? So I love journaling. I started writing in my journal, and I realized that I had to take a step back. I have to take a step back to take care of myself, because twice in my career, I was burnt out. Twice in my career, I had to take a leave of absence for several months, because I didn't even realize, you know, it's just like you don't even see it coming. It's just like, bam, there it is. So, now I'm music is my love. My husband is doing a practice. He's just learning, and he's help using it with his client called mindful meditation. And he's got the singing bowl, and he, you know, helps me meditate and stay with the moment. If the distracting thoughts, because that those distracting thoughts come in, you know, he says, acknowledge them, reject them, and come right back into the moment. So that's a big help. That's a very big help. So yeah, you're right. This is a career, and I'm telling everybody, be very careful, because this is a very intense thing of helping people who are extremely in trauma, pain, or whatever they're in, and to help them, it can really take its toll on you without you even realizing it.
Thank you.
So I'm grateful to my husband. I can go to him. I can go to him crying with, you know, just, oh my God. And he can just, he knows, he can just walk me right through it. So you're right for those of us who are working in this field of helping people. It can be a rough field, even though it's very rewarding. We have to take care of ourselves. So thanks, Holly, for bringing that up.
Absolutely. I love that. And I guarantee you there are listeners in here right now nodding their head saying, yep, that's me. And yes, I am. And I know that is something. My husband said something to me the other day about balance. And I say I'm like a pendulum. I'll go one side real extreme. Uh-huh. And then I'll rest to the other side. I tend to live life in a pendulum swing. And so, and it's funny, ChatGPT, I asked him, I said, what should be my goals for the year? And the first one said, whatever you do, whenever you do an event, you must take the day off the next day. Like ChatGPT is like, you better do some self-care, girl. Like, we know what you do. So, yes. And I love you and my husband that feels safe to share that with you and can walk that road with you. What a beautiful
day. Yes. Yes. Because he learned years ago. He's been a psychologist for 50 years. He learned years ago how to take care of himself with that in this career. And when I met him, I really did not know that much about that. And I used to come home from work and just sit on the deck like in a daze. And he's like, you can't do this to yourself. And he's right. So for everybody out there, please take care of yourselves. However, please take care of yourselves.
Love that. So on your journey, you wrote your book.
Yes.
And now that you do public speaking, how, besides, like, so when you're working with clients, is it more one-to-one? Do you do workshops or groups or public speak? Like, how does that play out in some of the ways that you navigate the world?
Well, in the last year, I have a lot of one-to-one clients. And I really want to bring that down and step out more. I really do. I feel like I have been neglecting my speaking. I've been neglecting. I do it, but not to where I can or should be doing it or any of that. So, you know, it's like, I'll give you an example. I had someone, she wasn't a client, but she said, can I talk? I really need to talk to you. I said, okay, give me a call. And we talked for about 2 hours, but everything that I suggested or all of that, she just wasn't, no, that's not going to work. No, that's not going to work. No, that's not, this one on and on and on, until I got to the point where I realized she needs more care than I know how to give. And I had to recognize she needed, and I said to myself, she needs psychiatric assessment, and I'm not a psychiatrist. So knowing what my lane is and not trying to be, you know, because I can do more harm that way than I can do good. So I had to really step back from that. I absolutely had to step back from that. But yeah, I'm going to be down. Let me tell you what I'm getting ready to do next summer very quickly. Buying property in upstate New York in the country. I have 9 great-grandchildren. I have a big family. My husband and I are introducing them a family compound. We want to get a family compound together because right now I tutor the little ones all over the country at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I love it. I love it. So I want to have this family compound to hopefully bring something like grow our own food or have a treehouse or something. And it's something that is little girls. If we, like, it doesn't have to be just mine. If we help little girls in that way, they'll be better when they're women. They won't have the baggage. They won't have the trauma. Or maybe it just will be, they'll learn. Because my six-year-old, she got in trouble in school, and I talked, she was crying. And I says, honey, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not. And we talked about it. And I said, you made a mistake. She said, I did. I said, yeah. She said, do you make mistakes? I said, honey, yes, everybody makes mistakes. But if you don't have that conversation, even with women, if you don't have that conversation, how are they to know? How are they to know? Because you know yourself, even as women, they think they're the only one. They're horrible people. They're this and I'm the only one like that. And they're not. You mentioned that before. There's a lot of people who, if we talk to them, they realize they're not. So I believe in what you said before when the show opened. I believe in women. We have what it takes to really do a lot of positive things as women. And I feel like looking at the three of you, you're doing that in your Wise Women Collective. And I admire you guys, and I've met much respect for you three. I do.
Thank you. I have a question. With your work that you're doing, with everything that you've been doing, what do you think, other than your experience and your story is everything, that's all we need to be an expert, right? What do you think your gift is in what's making you do so well at this journey?
Okay. I'll tell you what, when I started working at a facility called Real House in 2004, I got there, and first of all, new clients, they wanted us to fill out that paperwork. And I went to the owner, and I says, I'm not doing this. Can you have your staff do it? And he's like, why? I said, because I have to start earning their trust. They're scared. Name, social security number, all of this. It's very cold and informal. I didn't want to start it off like that. Then I got rid of the overhead lights and got lamps. Then I got music. So I'm letting them know I'm human like you. I'm a human being, you know, I hurt like you. And after a while, they can relate to that. Now, the state where I live in New Jersey. I know the state, you know, people came to see me. And they says, because some of my clients, listen to this. Some of my clients would go and buy like a 25-cent bag of chocolate chip cookies for me to show their gratitude. And they're like, you're not supposed to accept that. Excuse my language. I said, the hell I won't. The hell I won't. What do I look like telling somebody whose life has been traumatized that I will not take a 25-cent bag of chocolate chip cookies? Okay. What? That doesn't make any sense. So I'm being authentic. And I'm going to tell you something. As women, we know how intuitive we are, right? We know when somebody's being authentic and when they're not. We know when people are talking at us versus talking with us. So that's what makes people draw people. They're drawn to me. They're just drawn to me. And I recognize this is a gift. This is a gift that I have. You know, I chose to be a spiritual minister for a reason, because my job is to help their spirits heal. You know, we can look however we look, and that's fine. But I know people who look really drop dead, whatever. Inside, they're dying. You know, they're on fire. They're on pain. So I have another gift. I can look into a person's soul. I can look into their spirit. So my job is to draw them to me, you know, so that we can get to work.
Thank you. That I can see all of that. Thank you.
Thank
this
you.
This is why I wanted to bring you on, Niecy, because our listeners need to hear that. Because yes. There are people out in the world that can see you, that can hold space for you, that you don't have to do it alone. And there are so many of us light workers that are out there doing this work. And you just modeled it so beautifully and spoke it so beautifully. So when people, if they can't connect with you, when they find those people, go, ah, I found my Niecy Jones in my life.
Thank you.
Like, you know, so what a beautiful gift. We're closing near the end of our session. And before we do, like, I love for us to be able to let our guest share. If there was something on your heart when you said yes to coming on this show, because you knew you were going to be talking to other wise women, What bubbled up for you? Because you're a spiritual woman. Was there something that you're like, I really want to make sure I share this? Or just now that's coming
to you? I really wanted to share everything that I shared, really, about what it's really like being on this side of the fence, of being in that pain and stuff, and then what it's on the other side of the fence to actually be someone who helps people. So I wanted to share that. I also want to share with your viewers, you can check out my website. It says a lot about who I am, what I do, and it's Neecy, N-E-E-C-Y, Jones, J-O-N-E-S.com, NeecyJones.com. And I want to add a little humor to that. My name is Denise Jones, and I've gone by Denise Jones my entire life up until before the pandemic. And I always wanted a nickname. My late husband had, everybody in the family had a nickname except for me, just didn't click. So guess what I did in my late 60s? I gave myself my nickname. Okay, women, I gave myself my nickname. I said, from now on, I will be called Neecy. And that's what, and I'm just saying that, women, you, however, you're steering on the steering wheel to your own life. You know, do what you do. A lot of these things we don't need people's permission to do. As long as I follow the laws of the land and stuff, I more or less do whatever the heck I want to do. As long as I cause no harm, anything, do what I want to do. So I want to pass that on. So it's NeecyJones.com. You will learn more about my book. You'll learn more about my speaking, what I do, and all of that. So thank you.
So in the next couple years or year or 6 months, you mentioned the compound. What's next for Neecy Jones? What do you envision or want to call in that maybe doesn't exist now, or that somebody can reach in and go, okay, that's next. Where do you see yourself and coming up here soon?
Well, where I see myself next is really talking about my book a lot more, getting out there with my book a lot more. I'm busy helping other people with their stuff. I want people to, because it's all included in my book. It's everything. My book is about what happened, what was the result of what happened, and what I did about it. Mm. And just that, you know, what happened, the results of what that, and what I did. So for anyone, you know, who's helping people or people even in it themselves, think about those three things that I just said. I'm going to promote my book. I want to spend more time with the children. I do. I'm looking forward to that. My husband and I plan to retire before the pandemic. We did. However, we both agreed too many people out here need help. We can't totally retire. So we're what you call semi-retired. So we'll continue. I think we're going to work with people until our wheels fall off. That we'll continue to do, to help people along the way. But along with that, I intend to sit with him and, you know, watch some sunsets and go buy some water and play with the kids, get dirty with the kids, all of that kind of stuff. So that's what we plan to do. Take care of yourselves, ladies.
Yeah, thank you everybody that came on and listened to Neecy Jones and her amazing story. We are so grateful for you and grateful for all our listeners that are coming in and listening to the Wise Women Collective Radio Show. And we will see you soon.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Neecy. And listeners, join us at wisewomencollectivehq.com. You can find our show and all our free events in our community. Bye now. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you.